Hey everybody, happy Friday to everybody. It's time for Cub Chat Live. As you can see, Anthony has already got his Friday afternoon snack going on. How are you doing today, Anthony?
I'm doing great. It's Friday. I'm enjoying some great product that I recently purchased from a scout the other weekend that I saw. Wherever I see that, I know you can count on one sale if you see me coming, that's for sure.
You know, I was just going to say, I was at my local grocery store the other day, and as I was walking out of the store, I saw a very sharp, well-dressed young man selling popcorn outside the store with his dad, or maybe was a scout leader. And I'm just like you, I have a hard time saying no, right? When they're so nice and polite like that. In case you guys can't tell, we're here to talk about product sales, and we're going to maybe dispel some myths about product sales, I think, and make sure you guys kind of know all the details. And, you know, popcorn, not popcorn, that's a decision that can be made. Anthony, just maybe give us an overview when we talk about, you know, product sales. We're talking about basic fundraising, right? Just kind of tell us overview how that all works.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret that we get some of these topics for Cub Chat Live from watching Facebook groups and kind of hearing the chatter. And so there's really two pieces that we see a lot, and there's a misunderstanding among many people that Scouting America like owns popcorn, like it's our popcorn that we're trying to sell, because, you know, the most thing that you have to compare to is Girl Scouts and Girl Scout cookies, right? That's kind of goes hand in hand. So they see Scouts and popcorn, or Cub Scouts and popcorn, they think that that's our product. The reality is it's not. In fact, what we do nationally is we license vendors. People will come to us and say, hey, we think this is a good fundraising opportunity for Scouts across the country. And so we will, based on certain metrics, right? You know, we want to make sure it's quality. We want to make sure it's a good brand reflection. The local council then decides whether or not, like, they want, what company they want to use, if they want to sell popcorn, or some do peanuts, some do various other things, beef jerky, discount cards. I mean, you name it, there's a whole bunch of things out there. Councils choose that product. They work with that company to kind of create some kind of price structure. Maybe there's a prize program that's attached to that the company does, or maybe the council has to do it. But that's really a localized decision. And so that's important. That's kind of the first thing we want to make sure people understand is that whatever the product is, that is a third-party vendor who, by the way, you have to keep in mind, they're a for-profit company, more than likely. they're doing it to make money. So there's going to be a piece of that sale that's going to go to their bottom line as well. And that kind of brings me back to the second point that we see people complain about the cost of that product. Well, again, we're not controlling that product. We're not controlling that cost. But no matter what it is that you're selling as a fundraiser, you cannot compete or compare that product to what's in the store. Because you're right. That's like saying that as a small business owner, right, which if you treat product sales as a small business, you can't compete with Walmart. You're not going to, right? They've got the volume, they've got the distribution, they've got that down, right? And they don't have as many people trying to have a bottom line, profit, if you will, off their product, right? So those are two big items that we see all the time that people talk about. So we do want to make sure we start off this program right, kind of clear the air with that, that people understand that whatever product it is that you sell locally, that is a localized decision, and that you have to rid your mindset of you're trying to compete with a local, grocery store or Walmart or box store, and that the prices are going to be the same. It's just not, because you're really not selling a product. We'll get into that too.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. And Brian, are watching on YouTube, comes right out of the gate swinging. Why is popcorn so expensive? He asked. I think Anthony just kind of answered that. But yeah, unfortunately, Anthony and I don't have control over how much the popcorn costs. But I want to give a quick shout out to Pat, who's watching from the Longhorse Council. Osage Scout Mom is watching from St. Clair, Missouri, and also Troop, a Scouts PSA Troop in Mondale, Missouri. Thank you for watching. What's up, Wendy? Good to see you. Rusty, good to see you as well. Cub Scout Pack 169 from Forest Grove, Oregon. Good to see you. So Anthony, we're talking about product sale facts today. We've established, Scouting America does not own these products. These are decisions that are made by local councils. to contract with for-profit companies. And yeah, they're going to be more expensive than you could find at Walmart or Amazon. Right. That's not a unique issue.
And before we went on the air, we were talking about candy bars, right? And even Walmart is competing with Hershey's, right? If you go into Walmart, you'll see that they have their own brand of candy bars now, right? That look very similar to other name brand candy bars. But as Brian, who's behind the scenes that never gets a chance to see his face, that he said, you know, we did a taste test in our household. And you know what? The Walmart brand was not nearly as quality as the name brand, right? And so I do go out and I do go shopping, and I've seen little tins of popcorn or specialized products for $20, $30, $40. Like I see that gourmet top end shelf stuff is out there. Right. And all that's profit. Right. So we'll talk a little bit about why it may benefit you to have a high priced product sale compared to a low price product sale.
Let's talk real quick about product sales at the unit level, Anthony, if we could. And one of the first things that you said, the kind of a good way to start, have a goal. Tell us what you mean. Tell us what you mean by that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we see this all the time. We're like, we can't get people motivated. We can't get people to come out and sell, right? And I learned this actually in the school system. School systems really struggle with product sales and with fundraisers because they're inundated with it, right? But also, people don't understand why they're raising the money in the first place, right? You think, well, taxes, my property tax goes to pay for the school. And so that should be included. Why are we raising money for the school, right? The school fundraisers that are successful are the ones that say, hey, band is raising money so that we can take this trip to go to New York City and be in the Macy's Day Parade, right? That's going to be really successful because everyone knows where that money is going, what it's for. So you have to start with a budget. Your PAC budget is critical to any product fundraiser because you have to have a very quick and strong answer to why are we doing this, right? Why do I need to spend a Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning manning a booth with my child for selling some product when I just paid you either dues or registration fees? I just joined. Why are we doing this, right? So if your PAC budget is built so that we do a product fundraiser so that maybe you don't have to pay dues. Like maybe that when you join and you pay your registration fee, that's the only time you have to pay for scouting, right? If you sell X amount of popcorn, right? That keeps you from having to, you know, write a check for the program year. Some parents like to write that check and that's okay, right? But at least they know where it's going. So knowing how much you need to sell as a pack to make that budget and how does that break down to each individual Cub Scout and what their goal is. Again, it's hard to get motivated. It's hard to get excited. It's hard to track any kind of success if you really don't know why you're doing something. But I can recall our pack was really, you know, focused on, hey, you don't have to pay dues. If you sell popcorn, right, you sell, and we had a dollar amount, you know, you sell $150 worth of popcorn, or $200, wherever the, you know, we broke out the commission. If you do that, you don't owe dues. If you fall short of your goal, then we just write off wherever you did sell off of your dues. And then that's what you owe us in dues, right? So that, and we shared with them, Den Leaders had a budget. Den Leaders had money to spend. So they saw the money every week in crafts and activities. Again, having a goal creates the motivation and it's what's going to make your sales successful.
And you've touched on something I want to expand on real quick, Anthony, before we move on. I'm a recovering Cub Master, as I believe you are as well. I don't know if you ever actually made any mistakes at all as a Cub Master. I did. At the time I took over as Cub Master, I'd already been working for the Scouts for many years, but never at the local level, right? It's a different game. And when I'll never forget the first meeting when we talked about selling camp cards and a bunch of parents asked, wait a second, we've already paid our dues, all right? And which totally, I mean, it's a totally reasonable question. I just didn't even think about it. Well, yeah, you did pay your dues, but that goes to this, this, and this. We're selling camp cards so we could do this, this, and this. It's a conversation that you should probably have at your parent orientation meeting or your committee meeting or whatever it is, right? I ended up having it spur of the moment at a PAC meeting, if I remember, which made for a little bit of awkwardness. But yeah, I think the idea of having a goal, creating a budget, all that stuff like that, it all goes kind of hand in hand. These are discussions that you can have with your parents, with your leaders early on in the game? Like you said, are you going to have dues in addition to popcorn sales?
Right.
Are you going to try to fundraise your so much that you don't have to have dues? That's a great, great idea there. A quick shout out to Affordably Crafty from Pack 49 in Taunton, Massachusetts. I'm not going to try to pronounce the town that Yumi is. Well, I am going to try to pronounce the town that Yumi is in. What do you think, Anthony?
Kwajalein,
Marshall Islands, whatever. I'm sure we're saying it horribly wrong. Let us know. I mean, we're glad to have you here regardless. Somebody said earlier they were looking forward to, Richard says from Pack 32 in Versailles, Kentucky, looking forward to tips and tricks to improve sales. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Richard, Stay tuned. I appreciate all you guys tuning in. If you have any questions you'd like for Anthony to address, now is your opportunity. We got it for about 19 more minutes. All right. So that's
the biggest one, though. That's the biggest tip. Have a goal, right?
Yeah.
That's going to solve so many problems down the road of why am I selling? What am I selling for? And in your fall fundraiser, right? Sometimes councils may want you to do two fundraisers, a fall and a spring run, right?
Yep.
And that fall fundraiser could be that, hey, this pays for our program year. And that spring one could be like the icing on the cake, right? And so some PACs may use that money for summertime activities, right? A lot of councils may attach that to earning day camp, like so that you can earn day camp in addition to a commission, right? And so then that can fund your PAC annual program planning conference, right? Or program planning party is what we like to say. So it can plan that PAC activity during the summer. All that fun stuff that can happen. So if not everyone reaches their goal, that's not a big deal. It's not operationally critical. But have that goal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jesse asked, can you make scouts sell popcorn to help keep dues down? Well, I mean, you can. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But yeah, your PAC may charge dues that just the PAC charges, right? These are separate from national dues and things like that. And those can be offset by popcorn sales, right, Anthony? Right.
And you can have a – like our system was – you can sell, if you sell this amount of popcorn, we will cover your registration fee moving forward, right? And we also budgeted to pay for anyone who wanted to volunteer to register them as a volunteer leader as well. So we had all of our parents registered too. We budgeted money for adult training and recognition, all that kind of stuff. Again, have to have that PAC budget. You have to share why are we fundraising. Maybe you're great. You've got some other fundraiser, but you want to do a special fundraiser to buy a new Pinewood Derby truck.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to something very focused. Having that in mind really does. Again, that's the first and critical goal. But the second one goes kind of hand in hand. Right. And that is have a plan. Right. And so the plan is, we talked about it already. Someone already mentioned, why is this so expensive? Okay. So we've already established that we don't set the prices. The prices of that product and what product you're selling is a localized decision. However, consider this, right? Lower price items require higher sales volume, right? You have to have a lot more foot traffic to get the same amount of results. So if you're trying to reach $200 in net return per Cub Scout, right? So each Cub Scout is trying to earn $200 of commission, not gross sales, but commission. If you had a $5 item, and let's say you had a 50% commission on that $5 item. So you're making $2.50 off of each of that small priced item. You have to sell 80 items to get to $200. All right. So you have to make 80 transactions, which means how many transactions total when you get, how many no's are you going to have to get? Because you're going to get no's, right? How many people are going to walk by you? So you that perception that we're getting a high volume of sales and more yeses is great. But it may take you a lot longer, or you may never be able to reach that goal compared to a higher priced item. Let's say that $40 item, which sounds like a lot, and you're only getting 35% commission. So you're getting $14 for every sale of that $40 item. You only have to sell 15 items, right? So yeah, it's a mindset, and you know your market better, right? And so maybe you are in a market where $40 is a too high of a price and you are getting priced out. But take that in consideration. Lower priced items in this example, if you're going to have to do 15 times, five times more sales, right, to reach that same level of, output of that income that you're trying to achieve. So it's a balance. I'm not saying which one's right, which one's wrong. I'm just saying, we always like we told our kids to try to sell up, and we tried to start, you know, if they ask the kid, what Cub Scout, what's your favorite product? Go to the Big Ten. Like, I like the Big Ten because it has the, like, the variety pack, right? The variety pack of, most people have some kind of variety pack or some high dollar item. And the person may laugh it off and say, ha ha ha, right? But that's a cute little sales trick. But hey, you know what? If they say yes, boom, you just, you know, you got a $50 commission off that. So there's a rationale behind both of those. But if you're in a high traffic volume area where you're going to see hundreds of people an hour, right? And you just want that quick transaction of $5. And yeah, people are easy to give up $5 for a candy bar to help support scouting. Absolutely. That works too. But if you are in a slow paced area and you don't have as much foot traffic, you probably aren't going to be able to reach that goal, or it's going to take you a lot longer than with a higher price tag. So again, it's those are the two differences, right?
Yeah, and not only might it be five times the amount of product you have to sell, it could end up taking five times longer, right? So that's the decision that you have to make. Brian says that they have a rule in their pack where if you sell a certain amount the next year, you don't have to pay dues for the next year. His family, he says, sold $1,400 in popcorn. Very, very cool. Brian, love to hear that. So let's talk then, Anthony, about once you've made that decision, once you've decided you're going to sell popcorn or whatever that product is, a lot of it goes into how you execute the plan on sales day, right? And maybe more importantly, how the kids do it, right? How do you prepare for a selling?
Yeah, so you know, I think we all learned somewhere. At least I learned this. I know you learned. Be prepared, right? So be prepared to sell, right? Before you actually start going out there. So some things to consider. You want to make sure, if Brian can put up the slide, because I want to make sure I get my talking points right, is train the Cub Scouts, right? It's okay. Teach them these things about selling up, right? And selling down. Like we would sell, we sold camp cards for $5, right? And so when we trained the Cub Scouts that when someone says, oh, I only have a 20, they said, well, then would you like to buy four? Right. Instead of making the change. And like, I tell them, 75% of the time people are just like laughed, but then they gave us the $20. Right. So like it's a sales technique. And the idea again is to raise money, right? You're here to raise money, but in a kind way. And also you're teaching, Cub Scouts some basic sales skills. Right. So teach them how to act when they're set and what to say. Practice that before you actually go out and do a sale. And then the day of the sale, whoever the leader is, who's overseeing the sale, have them practice again. Product knowledge. Have them know about the product, right? So when they are asked that question, because that's sometimes someone's favorite question is asked, what's your favorite product? You know, which one's your favorite, right? And that when that Cub Scout is able to, you know, truthfully speak that they've tried all the product, they can say, well, I didn't like this one because this, but I really like this one because this, right? That really does help with that sales. Again, you're not selling the product. The product isn't what's important. What's important is people are buying into the Cub Scout program and they want to see that their investment is working. In other words, there's a result of that. And the result of that is a Cub Scout who looks well, right? Who is prepared, has that product knowledge, right? All that stuff has come to fruition compared to just the opposite of where it might be a little bit more chaotic. What's your booth going to look like, right? What does it need to look like? How are you going to have that transaction? Are you able to have samples? Because I can tell you when we were able to have samples, man, it was well worth opening up that one bag and eating that cost of doing business so that people can actually taste it, especially if there's a product that people aren't familiar with or it is a little bit more expensive, but you can taste the quality, right? If it's something that you are a food item. And then how are we going to handle sales transactions? Like I've done this, like I've done some other stuff where I'm selling something someone comes up and says, oh yeah, I'd like to buy that. And I'm like, oh, I forgot. Like I didn't bring change. I didn't have a change bag and I couldn't do cash. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. So I had to set up a Square account on the fly and all that stuff, right? Think through that first, right? What if someone does only have cash? What if someone does have a card? Are you ready to handle those sales transactions? And just have those methods in place, especially if you are accepting cash, which most of us will. If you are handling cash, make sure that there's a very strict and a huge paper trail make sure you give those people receipts. If they don't want one, you want to write one out so that you have documentation of that sale and how much cash should be on hand.
Well, I love the idea of having samples, Anthony. We never did that. I never, honestly, never thought about that. But I don't have the different flavors of popcorn listed in front of me, and it depends. There's a few different companies that do it different ways, but right. They're pretty exotic. I mean, there's some sweet ones, there's some salty ones, there's some cheesy ones. There's a nice little variety. The caramel, delicious dessert popcorn is out there.
Yeah, and there's even beef jerky products out there. They have all these different flavors of beef jerky. And my spicy might be a little bit different than your spicy, right? Right. And my mild and my sweet and all that kind of stuff. There's different types of peanuts, all these products that are out there. We're talking about consumable products. That's usually what, you know, was. But yeah, having that sample, again, you can taste the quality. And you know what? It gets people to the booth. Right? If I see free food, I'm going to get to the booth quicker than if you're just passively there.
And I know we're going to get into this a little bit more in the next slide, Anthony, but I want to expand a little bit more on the top item in the prepare list. Train Cub Scouts on how to act and what to say when selling. I mean, is it an exaggeration to say that that's 75% of the process right there, 90%, right? Just getting them to act the right way.
Yes, right? So right. Remember, people are walking from the parking lot and they see you, right? They see you. And what they see is going to really help determine whether or not they're going to engage you or how they're going to engage you, right? And so are they going to avoid you because everything looks chaotic and the kids are running around? Or do they see something that's very neat and orderly and organized and the kids being respectful, even if someone says no, thank you, they say, well, thank you, have a wonderful day, right? Like, be gracious all the time. Be gracious, right? They're seeing the Scout Oath and Scout Law, even if they don't know it, they see it in action, right? They see it in action. And so train them what to say. And this is a really key element. This is what I would teach our kids, is that no one wants to buy anything. When we sold discount cards, camp cards, we didn't say, would you like to buy a discount card? No. What we said was, would you like to save some money today? Everyone wants to save money, right? Everyone wants to, right? Would you like to experience the best thing you can ever possibly put in your mouth today, right? I mean, can you imagine the glorious flavor of chocolate today, right? You know, that kind of opening line. Do not stand there and say, would you like to buy some popcorn? Would you like to buy some peanuts? That's a very ineffective way to engage someone. So be creative. Think of a good opening line that is engaging, maybe a little humorous, especially if it's coming from a younger Cub Scout, right? A first grader saying something that is a little unexpected, catch that person off guard. And once you get them off guard, you've got their defense down a little bit. Now that you can maybe close that sale, or you have a better chance of having that sale compared to just standing there behind the table and just saying, you know, would you like to buy some popcorn, right? That's not engaging. So that's what we mean by think through, have that plan, be prepared, prepare your Cub Scouts. And hey, there's some sales techniques out there. I guarantee you probably have a parent in your pack who's in sales. Have them do a sales training, right? Have them talk about some basic concepts of sales and how to win people over.
Yeah, and kind of the double benefit of that, Anthony, is that kids are learning something, right? These are skills that they're probably going to need down the road. Like everything else, some kids are going to be a natural at it. They're going to be really outgoing. They're going to want to be the first one to go out to greet people. Some kids are going to be a little more shy. So what a great opportunity to work with both types, right? Maybe some of you may even have to say, let's take it down a notch. Some of them you have to really maybe encourage to do it. And Anthony, I've been there. We've all been there. I've walked through a parking lot. I've seen a booth of something, whatever, being sold. And I've kind of wanted to go like that, right? And then there's been other times where I've decided, well, I want to buy something from these folks. I've walked up to the booth. These are not Cub Scouts. I walked up to the booth and changed my mind because they just weren't very, you know, organized together, friendly, courteous, whatever it is, right? It can go both ways. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Brian brings up a good question. Brian Little says, donations are better for you than popcorn sales. All right. So we do want to make sure, since Brian brought it up, we're going to make sure we address this, right? You are not allowed as a Cub Scout pack to solicit straight donations. That's why we have product sales. That's why we have these fundraisers. And so that's a rule of unit fundraising. Now, That doesn't mean that if someone says, hey, you know what, keep the popcorn, here's $20. Yeah, you can keep that. That's fine. But you can't solicit a straight out cash donation.
You couldn't, for example, put up a sign that says either donate or buy popcorn.
The correct. Sign is correct. Popcorn that's actively asking for it. But you can accept it if it's offered, but it's not something.
And that does happen quite a bit. We had that experience a lot where folks would just give us $10 or $20 and we would say, are you sure you don't want the popcorn? And they say, no, I'll give it to somebody else. And we would say, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And that's 100%. Commission. You don't have to split that.
Yep. And Brian says that they also, their sales pitch was, would you like to support my Cub Scout journey? Which I think is
yeah,
is
right. Solid, yeah. Something right? engaging, something that, yeah, not would you like to sell? Because look, think about it. Like how many times, even on my phone, I'm trying to be sold all the time. I also kind of become numb to it. Right.
Yes.
There's right. Get so something face. Fun, a joke, something that's an engaging, you know, be a little bit creative with that of yourself. So that's preparation.
I love the idea of a joke. That's great. Our final topic for product sales is selling
right.
product. Yeah, this is what it's all about. So, you know, you've come up with your budget, right? You've done all those things. You've trained the kids. You've got a plan. You know where the money's going. You know why you're doing this. You know which product it is, obviously. Once it comes to sales day, Anthony, when you're actually selling the product, what are the things we need to keep in mind for that?
Yeah. So I keep on talking about this, right? People are going to know like when they see you, right? So have that organized look, right? Make sure the Cub Scouts are in their uniform. That's a big plus, right? And that they're clean and neat, right? Take that time to, you know, make sure that they do look presentable, right? Because you want them to be the brand, right? And they may not be like that all the time, but this is how we teach them how to be, right? This is one of those things where it's like, look, you got to put your best foot forward. It's one of the things that they teach you. Again, we're selling, right? So this is a sales technique, is that you always want to put your best foot forward. And so how do you look? Are you organized, right? What's your plan of attack? So for example, often what we would do is we would post ourselves at the exit of the store, not the entrance. And we kind of sold that to the store and said, hey, look, we don't want to take any revenue away from you. So we would like to approach them after they've already spent their money with you. We're secondary, right? And so when you present it that way, you may turn a past no from a store to a yes, right? And so when you have that system in place, what you might consider is having the kids line up, and when one person walks out the door, the first person in line, that's their chance to sell, right? They approach that person. So if someone comes up behind them, the second person in line goes and gets that person and engages that person, right? And then if they get a hook, if someone's like, yeah, I'm interested, they walk them over to the sales table, right, with an adult leader, right? And then they can close that sale there, right? Gets out of the way of traffic, right? You have that system. It's organized, right? You thought about this. And if they don't make a sale, then they go to the back of the line, right? So then they just kind of, you have a rotation. It avoids four or five kids coming up to the same person saying, hey, would you like to buy some popcorn? Right? Like that's not what you want, right? That's where even I and Aaron are going to go.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, like no one wants to be engaged that way, right? But if some kid came up to me as I'm leaving the store and said, hey, would you like to hear a joke today? Right? And then, you know, they tell me a funny joke. I'm like, God, that's great. He's like, well, while we're talking, would you like to help support me in my Cub Scout journey? Right? Oh, yeah. Okay. How can I do that? And then they walk them to the sales table, get them out of the flow of traffic, right? Again, have that pattern, practice it. It also, to me, makes it a little bit fair of how you are going to split that commission. That's another important part. Have that conversation up front with the parents and everyone about how you split sales at a booth, and how does that work? And then constantly emphasize the behavior of Cub Scouts, right? And adults, right? So that might be the harder road to go down at times, but you know, nothing is, you're going to lose a lot of sales when you see the adults are sitting in the background. They're not engaged. They're not doing, you know, they're kind of on their phones. They're letting their kids be a little bit distracting or not engaged. And not focused. And so those types of things, people see that. They're not going to tell you, I'm not buying today because of this, but but they're it's certainly not going to help your sale. So those are things to have conversations about. So that's when we talk about prepare. The kids know what they're saying. They know how to say it. They know the process. You practice it. You practice it again when you're at the store, and you coach them, right? There should be some active coaching going on. If they don't make a sale, make sure that they're saying, thank you, have a wonderful day, right? And if they're not doing that, correct them, right? Give them some guidance. If they're not, if you see one scout, they're doing everything right, but man, they're getting the wrong people when it's their turn. They're just not able to close the sale. Give them that encouragement, right? Say, hey, look, the great thing about that no is that means that next yes is just closer, right? It's just, it's going to be there, right? So giving them that kind of encouragement.
I think that's great advice about adults. And again, based on my experience, I think when a lot of adults hear that, oh, you don't have to do anything, we're going to let the kids sell the popcorn. Well, they think that they have permission then to go sit off to the side and get on their phone. Understandable. But what a great opportunity for them to help, like you said, coach. You can't do that if you're not paying attention, right? If you're not engaged. But it could be that a scout is, like you said, making one little simple mistake, just maybe not quite wording it right, or something like that. And you can just take the opportunity to make a little correction, to make that note. You can't do that if you're not paying attention off to the side. Not only does it not look good, right? You're also missing a chance to really be engaged. I think just sort of standing there and just watching and observing and being ready to answer questions. If someone does ask an adult directly a question, being willing to answer, yeah, I'm the unit leader, I'm the den leader, whatever, or no, I'm just a volunteer, I'm just a dad, I'm just a mom, whatever it is, right? Just being there, being engaged goes a long way. And again, behavior of Cub Scouts, I mean, I don't know, that's, again, that I think that just goes so far, right? Some of them are going to be naturally enthusiastic and want to do it. Some of them are going to be shy and not really want to do it. There's a role, I think, for both of those in product sales. And it's just a matter of sort of getting the most out of them, I think.
Yeah, I think I liken it to fishing, because I saw this, right? And I'm sure every Cub Master out there has seen this, right? The quiet, shy kid who just has, who talks like this when they're, and you're trying, like, hey, you need to project a little bit. They make their first sale and boom, the lights go on. Like, they did it. Like, they realize, oh my, I can do this. Right. And then next thing you know, this kid's the selling machine, right? They, something clicked with them. And so those opportunities present themselves to us if we have the right environment. And we're allowing those things to happen, but they just don't happen out of the blue, right? You can't have some framework in that environment to allow those things to happen. But yeah, you're going to have some kids that are just naturally shy. You're going to have some extroverts. You're going to have introverts. And selling isn't for everyone, but it's a technique that can be taught. Keeping that in mind really is helpful, not only to your product sales bottom line, but more importantly, what we're here for, right? Our mission, right? Being a leader means at times you know how to speak up and you know how to engage people in a positive way.
Yeah, and I would also advise maybe another thing that I saw is adults, you know, very, very, you know, wanting to help, wanting to do the right thing. If a kid is, you know, maybe shy, kind of stumbling over their words, you know, my advice, let them work it out. Let them, it's okay. That's endearing in some ways. You know, I think a customer would much rather see a Cub Scout in their natural environment, their true personality shining through, instead of an adult stepping in and taking over for them if they misspeak or say the wrong thing or something like that. Just let them go. Coach them best you can. A lot of people will find that endearing. Before we let you go, Anthony, a good question from James about we've talked a lot about selling in front of stores and things like that. Maybe you could talk real quick, Anthony, about neighborhood, families, friends, things like that.
Absolutely. This is what in sales we call the low-lying fruit. All right. So especially with high-value item or higher-priced items, right, you're more likely to have a sale of a higher-priced item that, you know, deluxe variety pack of that product that is like, oh, that's a lot. That's the grandma tin, right? That's the aunt and uncle tin. That's the sale to a high and close relationship, right? And the great thing about those things, right, is that since it is a big sale, right, there's a big commission that comes with that, right? So if you sell that $100 item, right, 35% commission, that's $35, right? And that's a long way towards your, that goes a long way towards your $200 goal if you have a $200 goal. So that is key. Now, if you do go through your neighborhood, right, make sure you're selling, you know, make sure that each Cub Scout's going with a parent. If they want to have buddy groups where, you know, two Cub Scouts and two parents are going together, that's awesome. But, you know, make sure, again, the best product is one that the transaction's closed right then and there. So there's a technique that's called show and deliver, which is essentially you have the product there, right? And so you're just bringing the storefront to the person. And so they can select from the products that you have right there. And then you close the sale, right? I can tell you we sold around and took the order form thing. I don't want to knock that, but
right,
that's not really effective, right?
It's and
not
very get efficient. Their product for what, a week or two later or something.
Yeah, like it's. I think a lot of people dread that. I think that concept of people, we live I call it a microwave society, right? We want things right now. An Amazon society, we can get that dropped. They give anything within, you know, the same day. Yeah. So having that quick delivery, you close the transaction, you're done, you can move on. That's huge. So yeah, the higher the relationship, the higher sale or item that they're more likely to purchase from you. And if you have to sell 15, if you're doing a high price item and you have to sell 15 items, well, gosh, you can probably write, you know, 20 names of family members and neighborhood. And you can probably from that 20, you probably will get 15 yeses.
Yep. Yeah. When my son was selling popcorn, Anthony, between you and me, don't tell my parents this. When we told him that he was selling popcorn, we only mentioned the most expensive one. We didn't even mention that the other ones were an option. We just said, Ethan is selling popcorn. It's 30, whatever it was, you know, and they signed up and bought two or three or whatever it was. He's, like you said, low hanging fruit.
Right.
Heather mentioned something that you briefly touched on earlier, and that's a decision that's made in advance about how you're going to divide the earnings, right? Are you going to divide it up by Scout or just split it up equally? I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer, right, Anthony? Is there any philosophy on that?
The wrong answer is this. The Cub Master decided that this is the way we're going to do it, or the committee chair decided, hey, this is the way we're going to do it. No, that's the only, to me, that would be the only wrong answer, right?
Right.
How you're going to do that should be a opportunity where parents have the opportunity to voice their opinion. You come to a consensus and that's the way you're going to move forward, right? That's because, and I say chance to, right? I don't say you have to wait till every single parent weighs in on it, because not every parent is going to want to weigh in on it. But those who do want to, right, have that chance, and they hear the conversation, they hear the pros, they hear the cons, they see the vote. If you bring it to a vote, right? Yeah, it was nine to one. You were the one. Everyone else wants to do that. It helps tame that any conflict that might arise. Because they're going to a sale and they're expecting one thing, but another thing happens. That's when people get upset. It's not the rules of the game. It's the perception that you change the rules of the game. And I say perception because if they went into it thinking one thing and they experienced something else, then that communication, broke down somewhere. And so that's a key element to keep that on a smooth pace.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent, excellent discussion, Anthony. I think we've covered just about all the topics we're planning on covering. We're talking about product sales. I think we've answered the question, why is popcorn so expensive? I think we've addressed that. We've talked about different options that you might have. Before we let you go, Anthony, any final closing thoughts that we want our viewers to know about?
I just would like to circle back to that first point, right? You have to have a pack budget, right? And if you don't have that pack budget, the fundraising cycle, the product sales just doesn't make sense, right? No one's going to understand why you're doing it. And so even if your PAC is financially sustainable, right, and without a product fundraiser, and you're doing it because you want to help support the local council, and maybe the money that goes towards product sales in your local council goes to support camp and camp properties, and you want to be a team player, right? Share that with your parents, and let them know that. Let them know that product sales that are being sponsored by the council, or that it's benefiting us. That's how we're getting 70% of the money of the sale is going to help scouting directly and indirectly. And knowing what that indirect service is helpful as well. But it all comes back down to, once again, a budget, being clear. And this is why we're doing our product fundraiser. Everyone down to the new Lion family understands that. And now they're motivated to either, okay, well, you know what? I don't like doing the fundraising thing. I'm just going to write a check, have that check, you know, have that opt out. Or yes, okay, great. Now I understand. And now we're going to knock it out. And it's usually the newer families that go out there, get super excited. And like in 2 weeks, they've met their goal.
Yep. Awesome. Well, product sales, you know, it's a part of Cub Scout life. It can be a fun, rewarding, educational experience for kids. I don't think anybody necessarily loves it, right? But it is an opportunity to fund your pack. It's an opportunity to ease the financial burden on folks. And it's an opportunity for kids to learn about being polite and people saying no to them, right? And how to be polite
and having an awesome Cub Scout experience. Like, yeah. We did a summer trip every year, and you know what, one year we went to Six Flags, another year we went to the aquarium, and if you met your sales goal, not only was it the Cub Scout got to go, but they got to bring their parents, right? So we included the cost of the parent. And so what are the program, right? Are kids able to earn something and say, hey, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, I want to take you somewhere. Like, I earned this for you, right? That's a huge, big giveaway. So it's not just, can we make our program sustainable? No. Have your program be out of this world amazing and do some amazing things. And if people get behind that, you can do it no matter what the families in your pack economic situation is.
Absolutely. I love it. Heather says they use their product sales to make Halloween treat bags, cookie decorations, hot chocolate bars for Christmas outings, like going to the zoo, baseball game. That's awesome, Heather. That's what it's all about, right? This has been a great discussion, Anthony. Appreciate you taking your time out of your Friday afternoon to be with us here today on Cub Chat Live. We'll be back next Friday with another show. Until then, everybody have a good weekend. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks,
everybody.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live, except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.